You, O God, change and overturn the rules that this world tries to set up for you. When we think that we have you figured out, a box made up for you to live in, you break down the barriers and do something new, something unexpected, something amazing. Guide us in this time to hear the words of Paul, to seek unity with your Holy Spirit by being open to the impossible and marveling again at your radical love. This we pray in the name of the one in whom you dwelled among us to show us the way. Amen. So, in today's reading, as Andrew mentioned and as was in the new e-news this week, many believe that a fair chunk of this that Paul wrote was a song, a hymn, that during his writing he was so moved by what he was saying that he was moved to song in writing. That the words that he wrote in his writing were from one of the hymns of the early church. Does anybody remember what last week's reading was about? This isn't a test. If you don't, that's okay. Ha! Whew! I heard. That's all I heard. Anybody? Any guesses? Bless you. It was gratitude. Thank you, Beth. That's double stars for you today because it's Mother's Day. Last week we were reading about Paul and gratitude. We were talking about how he was so thankful for the amazing gift that God gives that he cannot help but give thanks to God for that gift. That gift of grace, that gift of love. Today it's kind of the same thing, but for a different reason. The grace that God imparts on creation is pretty great. But the thing of which Paul is singing today is even more amazing, if possible. So amazing that I'm not sure how you're going to react. I don't think you're going to be able to handle the news when you hear it. So unbelievable, so unexpected is this news that we read about in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. So I need you to take a deep breath. Feet on the floor, maybe hands on your legs so you're calm. Are you ready to hear this earth-shattering news? No? Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes! God took human form in the life and works of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Beth! And others. Hallelujah, right? Are we not excited by that statement? Are we not ecstatic as Paul is, moved to songs of praise and thanksgiving? Yes, we are. Thank you. Extra cake for Beth. Well, we aren't singing, right? I wonder why we aren't more excited. Like, I think that we are in a little bit, in some way, excited because the minister's moving really fast and talking really fast, and that gets us all a little excited. But are we excited by what we heard, that God took human form in the life and works of Jesus Christ? Maybe not. Maybe we're not as excited as we wish we were. Why isn't that something that affects us in the same way that it affected Paul, or as it probably did those early followers of Christ, both before and after his death and resurrection? God made a radical move to enter human form, and not just for a day, for a lifetime, to experience everything, the good, the bad, and ultimately the ugly on the cross. That should be earth-shaking news for us. But instead, we come to confessions of faith like we find in the new creed. And we say words like, we believe in God who came in Jesus. The Word made flesh. As though it were part of a grocery list rather than what it actually is. The world-shattering, in-breaking of God into our lives and our confession to belief in that. So why don't we sing And not just sing, but do as Wesley suggests, and sing lustily and with good courage, not half dead, not half asleep, but lifting up our voices in strength. Why don't we sing like that? If you're looking for more directions on singing, Wesley's directions for singing are 720 in Voices United. I encourage you to read them. It helps me sing. So why aren't we doing that? Every time that we hear the good news of which our gospel writers write about, of which Paul is singing today, that God entered our world and walks among us. Maybe it's become white noise. We hear it so much and say it so much that it's become rote, routine, expected. Just something that God did and we've become used to. Yeah, God came down. Christmas is nice. Perhaps a better analogy is wallpaper or paint on the wall. At one point it popped, right? It drew your attention. Maybe it even affected you emotionally. Made you smile, or in the case of some really bad wallpaper, cringe. But over time, that emotion kind of eroded. The wallpaper or the splash of color became just part of the room. It might be all around us, but it doesn't affect us the same way that it used to. It's just kind of there. Like white noise and like wallpaper, for us, it's just something that God did. We talk about what it means and why God did it. But the act of God moving from that eternal, timeless, divine existence into a finite, fragile, and flawed human being just isn't jaw-dropping for us anymore. And that right there is one of the many reasons why our Holy Scriptures hold significance for us today. It isn't just the stories that are conveyed, not just the ongoing broken road that is the relationship between God and God's people that ultimately leads to wholeness and unity, unity of which Paul sings. It is those things, but it is also the witness. The witness that we find in those that were so moved by their encounters with the divine that they passed their stories on, that they wrote them down, were changed forever because of what they had seen and what they had heard. What has become white noise for us was like the sound of thunder to the early church. What has become wallpaper, just kind of there for us, was like glimpsing the face of God for people like Paul. And Paul, if you remember, didn't walk away from his encounter with Christ unscathed. So powerful was his meeting with Christ on the road, the risen Christ, that his vision was damaged for the rest of his life. If you read some of his letters, at the end of one of them, he says, "See, I am writing large, so you know that I'm writing in my own hand." He had to write so big because his eyes were so bad. They say that his encounter with Christ damaged his eyes. His life was changed forever for meeting Jesus. Odd as it may sound, we are called to see through the eyes of people like Paul, the disciples, those early followers, to again see that act of God walking, laughing, crying, and dying and rising among us. As something that is world-shaking, life-changing, song-inducing. These stories of faith remind us in those moments when the extraordinary things that God has done and is doing have become ordinary. It reminds us to see through the eyes of those who stood in awe and wonder at the amazing things that God does with and for creation. Paul and those like him, the act of God entering human form, not for God's own gain, but for the gain of the whole world, is an amazing thing. In entering the world in such a radical way, God does more than just bringing the divine and the holy to the realm of the messy humanity. This act of love also brought humanity into the realm of the divine, bringing us closer to God, strengthening our relationship, writing those stories, those holy stories that we talk about. It makes our lives holy, just as Christ's life was holy. For people of the ancient world, the notion of God or any God entering human form wasn't a new one. But the idea that God might take a part of us into God's self, and that at the same time leave a piece of God in the world, in us, was completely foreign. For them, class, status, power was everything. And to be God meant that you were of the highest class, to have the greatest of status, and to have the most power. For them, God entering the world was a demeaning act, a lowering, a lessening of God's self. That's what people of the ancient world would have seen when they heard this story, and that's why they are amazed when they hear it. So far was the gap between God and humanity that it would be like a king or a queen renouncing their throne to live on the margins of society. And yet, that's just what God did. And did so out of such a love, such a yearning to be closer to us, that it shocked people. It drove them, as it did Paul, to songs of praise. The simple act of God emptying God's self and filling the world made our every day, our every moment holy. No breath is just another breath. And every person that we meet, that encounter is a holy encounter. This is what I hope that you take away from the words that Paul offers in song in his letter to the Philippians. To see the wondrous things in this world as though through the eyes of someone experiencing them for the first time. A sunrise is no longer just the turning of the earth in its orbit, but a glorious prelude of light to a day just begun. The relationships that we have with one another are not expendable to be tossed away at the first disagreement. But rather, every person that we share this life and our faith with is another tether that binds us to the divine. And God entering the world and walking it in the feet of a man from Nazareth isn't just something God does to say hi. Rather, it is a thunderous breaking of God into the world and into our lives to embrace each and every one of us and remind us that we are precious. So let's go from this place, not just with a deeper appreciation for our stories of faith, though we should have that. Let us go with a deep appreciation, a deep wonder of the ways in which God is still, even today, breaking into our lives. Let us go and feel the movement of the Holy Spirit, and as that Spirit fills us, let us burst with songs of praise and thanksgiving, because we are a people loved. Loved into life, loved to death, and into new life. Amen.